mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, could you be doing a better job of saving and managing your money? Well, if so, you are far from alone. We have some simple strategies to help you start building your nest egg for America Saves Week. Also this morning, we share highlights from our candidate forum last night with all five individuals seeking an at-large seat on Findlay City Council. And happening around town, a preview of the University of Findlay's annual International Night event happening this week. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. How did your bracket end up? In the final analysis, last night, Florida knocked off Houston in a game that was so... I don't remember the final score. I didn't watch the whole game last night because it was on late, and I got to get up really early to be in here to do this for you, so I hope you appreciate that I was unable to watch the entire game. Watch the first half, and it was back and forth. I don't think the margin got over maybe 8 or 9 points in the first half, and that didn't last long. I mean, it was, you know, back and forth, you know, 2 points here, 2 points there. I think Houston went up by 9, and then Florida got on a run and evened it up. It was just it was a really tight battle in the first half, and apparently that continued in the second half. Florida came back, I guess, and won it to claim the national title. I did have Florida as winning it all. My bracket was long busted, but I did have Florida to win it all. So I got the one game that mattered. I picked correctly, I guess. But I don't know what the final statistics on the brackets were. I guess it will probably be a couple of days before we'll get the final statistics on the March Madness brackets, how many of them... how people did overall, some of those final statistics. But Florida Gators, Ian Eagle called it a championship, which I thought was kind of clever. You know, the Florida Gator chomp that they do, and although they call it a championship for Florida. I thought that was kind of clever. Now that basketball season is over, we can turn our attention fully to baseball, because it is opening day for the Cleveland Guardians today, which it's about dang time. I mean, it's been, 2 weeks since the first baseball games? And the Guardians played 9 straight on the road to open up the season. And it has not been kind. Guardians sit at 3-6, third place in the American League Central behind the Tigers and the Royals. So the Guardians have some ground to make up. They're opening home opener today, this afternoon. And, of course, you'll hear it here on WFIN. But 9 straight on the road, that is rough. That is rough. But they are at home today, so big day in Cleveland. I didn't look up the weather. I should look up the weather forecast in Cleveland real quickly. What are they expecting? 35 degrees and overcast this afternoon. And apparently there's a chance that there could be a little bit of light rain or some type of precipitation. But that'll be late morning. It should be gone in plenty of time for the game. Maybe a little bit of sunshine peeking out behind the clouds by game time. But that's your forecast in Cleveland if you happen to be heading over for the home opener. We can also talk about golf. Masters is this weekend. Tiger Woods, I thought this was kind of interesting with the Masters coming up this weekend. Tiger Woods and TGR Design are developing a 9-hole course at the Patch, which is formerly Augusta Municipal Golf Course. Augusta National Golf Club Chairman Fred Ridley announced yesterday that Tiger Woods, 5-time Masters champion, will also open his 4th TGR Learning Lab, which will provide STEM and other educational opportunities to local children. So, some pretty cool stuff there at Augusta, a 9-hole course. Now that might be more my speed. If you've ever dreamed of playing Augusta, you could say you played the nine hole, I guess. Will that be open to the public? I don't know. But that's what they said. Let's see. And I saw this. This is the big news story of the day in the world of science. Did you hear about this? A technology firm says that they have resurrected the dire wolf, which has been extinct for 13,000 years or something like that. Well, maybe not that long. But the this firm said that they have used DNA from a 13,000-year-old tooth to bring back the extinct breed of wolf, the dire wolf, which was made famous in the HBO series Game of Thrones. And the creator of Game of Thrones is an investor in the project to resurrect the dire wolf. Researchers started with remains found in Ohio and Idaho. The cells were cloned and then bred using a standard gray wolf, which is the closest living relative. They genetically modified the DNA and then implanted that into a gray wolf, and lo and behold, you've got a dire wolf. Colossal is the, I guess, the name of the company that does it. Colossal, what a name. It said the dire wolf pups are living on a 2,000-acre ecological preserve surrounded by 10-foot-tall zoo-grade fencing. So, yeah, so were the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. I don't know. They say they're just started. They're just starting in, you know, resurrecting extinct species. They want to do a woolly mammoth next, apparently. So, I don't know. There are a lot of questions about this. Ethics and all of that. They're concerned about, you know, you bring back the dire wolf, you upset the natural ecosystem. There's a reason why they went extinct in the first place. And now we're reintroducing this. And who knows what impact that might have on other species. But they say it's a controlled reintroduction. So, but if amazing science, if you really think about it, it is amazing science. A couple of other items here. Among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. New statistics reveal which U.S. state would be best equipped to survive an alien invasion. GigaCalculator.com, GIGA Calculator.com, GigaCalculator.com, revealed their list based on factors like terrain, population density, and emergency personnel availability. And when everything is factored in, Virginia emerges as the top survivor state, the state where people would be best equipped to survive an alien invasion. At the bottom of the list, Nevada would be deemed the least likely to withstand an extraterrestrial incursion. So, Nevada's home of Area 51. You would think that they would be much better prepared, but apparently they're at the bottom of the list. After Virginia, the states most likely to endure would be Alabama, Massachusetts, New York, Minnesota, Florida, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Alaska, and Georgia. Ohio, we fare pretty good. We are 16th on the list and one spot ahead of Michigan. So we are more likely to survive than Michigan. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. We may not be in the top 10, but at least we're ahead of Michigan. I can deal with that. I can deal with that. And finally here, lastly, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, something to think about here. This is National Distracted Driving Awareness Month. National Distracted Driving Awareness Month. In April, in a recent survey released by Nationwide Insurance, reveals that a staggering 92% of drivers... I didn't read that right. Let me... read this again. This recent survey issued by Nationwide reveals a staggering 92% increase in the number of drivers looking at their phones more frequently over the past year. 92% of us are actually looking at our phones more frequently behind the wheel than we did a year ago. And this despite, at least in this state, more fines, more laws, more stiff penalties for distracted driving and using your mobile device behind the wheel. 11% admit to reading or writing emails while driving. Despite a familiarity with distracted driving laws, a significant proportion of drivers doubt the effectiveness of these regulations in curbing behaviors. Well, yeah, if 92% more of us are looking at 92% increase, then it, no kidding, we doubt the effectiveness of those laws. We got to follow them. That would be the way that we would be able to make the road safer. Additionally, concerns have been raised about built-in touch screens and displays that contribute to driver distraction. And I have to say, that is one thing that I do worry about, because touch screens are great. We've long had people fiddling with the controls of the radio or other controls behind the wheel, but it used to be back in the day that you could feel, you wouldn't have to look at what you were touching to know what you were doing. You know, if you grab the knob of the radio, you could feel the knob of the radio to adjust the tuning or the volume or what have you. Now with a touchscreen, it all feels the same. So you have to look to make sure that you're touching at the right spot, which you didn't have to do years and years ago. So the price of convenience, I suppose, but National Distracted Driving Awareness Month, something to be aware of as you are driving this morning. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started here.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak, your WTOL 11 weather. Mostly sunny today with a high around 40, mostly clear tonight, low in the middle 20s. Habitat for Humanity of Findlay Hancock County will be celebrating its 25th anniversary in a unique way that you could benefit from.
Habitat for Humanity is so excited to announce that as part of our 25th anniversary, we are welcoming you to apply to get your roof repaired.
Habitat Executive Director Wendy McCormick says they'll be repairing or replacing 25 roofs as part of their 25th anniversary in the coming months. She says warmer, safer, and drier are the core values of Habitat's critical home repair program, and it all starts with a secure roof. Applicants must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the program. Get more details and a link to the application in the story on our website. Questions are being raised regarding the pulling of international student visas at Ohio colleges and universities. Ohio State University says at least 5 students had their F1 visas revoked, and the school says it doesn't know why.
It comes as students across the country are fearful for their immigration statuses. The State Department says it does not comment on specific cases due to privacy. They did release a statement saying they look for all information that could indicate visa ineligibility, including arrests, convictions, or conduct inconsistent with visa classification.
ONN's Bryn Caswell reporting. Candidates running for an at-large seat on Findlay City Council participated in a candidate forum on WFIN. The forum was held at 50 North and moderated by WFIN's Chris Oakes. The primary election is on May 6th. The University of Findlay's International Night is Thursday night at the Kaler Center. The event, which is open to the public, is an evening of creative cultural exhibits, performances, and food from around the world. There will be free food, prizes, and performances from students and community members. Get more on the University of Findlay's International Night in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, this is America Saves Week. If you could be doing a better job of saving and managing your money, you are certainly in good company. That's why we have some simple strategies this morning to help you start building your nest egg. Robin Growley is a savings and budgeting guru for Bank of America. Robin, we have often heard that the way to reach a big goal is to break it down into smaller, more achievable steps. How can people do that with respect to money?
Oh, you're absolutely right. So a lot of times, you know, as we speak with our clients, they are thinking about their longer term goals. How am I, you know, saving that kind of big number, if you will? Mm-hmm. And that can seem daunting, a bit overwhelming. The way to get started, breaking it down to smaller, shorter term milestones, right? So, you know, let's just say if you wanted to save $1,000 over 6 months, well, instead of saying, I've got to put that $1,000 away, no, focus on, you know, weekly, right? So take maybe it's $10, $20 each week, put that away. And then that helps, you know, as you start putting it away, you're going to see the funds accumulate. And as those funds start to accumulate, it's going to make you motivated. You're seeing that you're making progress. And when you make progress happen, that's when savings actually becomes a habit. And that is what we're after, for savings to become a habit. And then it's going to be easy for you to reach those longer term goals.
Yeah, and I like the idea of thinking small, building to that bigger goal. And it might be just getting that emergency fund, or, you know, even thinking about saving $1 million for retirement. Sounds impossible, but the smaller goals that will get you there eventually, psychologically make that easier to achieve. Plus, reaching those smaller goals along the way provides that positive reinforcement, as you were mentioning.
You've got it. That's right.
So that said, even if you are breaking it down into more bite-sized pieces, as it were, that doesn't necessarily mean you won't still get derailed at some point along the way. So what are some of the common pitfalls that people face when they are trying to build up their savings, and how do people avoid them?
Yeah, you know, I always like to think everyone has the best intentions, but the reality of it is life happens, right? And one of the biggest pitfalls that we see, clients who have started saving, they've accumulated some funds, but they're actually putting it into their checking account, right? And so when they're in there, they're spending on their everyday, you know, expenses, and what they'll accidentally, right, end up spending what they've saved. And it's really hard when you have your savings sitting in your checking account. So we always like to recommend have a separate savings account, right? And when you have that separate savings account, the nice thing is that as your savings starts growing, when you get into that habit of meeting those shorter term goals, you're going to see the funds grow in that account. Again, it makes you excited. It makes you motivated. You want to stick with it. And the other thing that I like to do when you have that separate savings account is name the account whatever your goal is. If you're saving for your beach vacation, name it Beach Vacation 2025.
Okay.
And then that really is just kind of that little reminder that as you're going, and if you're going to make a withdrawal out of that savings account, it's going to make you think, what is the goal of this money that I've been setting aside and working so hard for? Is it aligned to my goal, right, when I take that money out? So just a little thing to help you pause and think, am I actually doing what I intended to do when I started saving these funds?
That is a great idea. What if we have more than one goal? I mean, maybe we have a short-term goal of saving money for vacation, or then we've got a longer-term goal of, I don't know, saving up a down payment for a house or something like that. Is it okay to have more than one savings account?
It certainly is. You certainly can have more than one savings account. And if you do, then being able to have that opportunity to name them and watch them grow,
okay,
that's a really nice benefit of having the individual accounts.
You know, I know this is something that a lot of people struggle with, especially right now, these days. What is the best way to balance the need to pay off debt and the equal importance of saving money? So is it possible to do both?
Yeah. It certainly is. And I think that's what's important for all of your listeners to understand, that you can do both. And when we have clients ask us this question, we really talk about kind of keeping it simple, taking it back to the basics. And I like to use the 50-30-20 rule. And what this means is that 50% of our income goes towards necessity. So think about your rent, your utilities, any type of debt payment, which would be like a student loan, a credit card, or auto loan, that 50% of your income is going towards the things that you absolutely must pay and buy, right? 30% is your wants. I like to think of those as things that make our life comfortable, that makes us, you know, excited, right? Maybe that's the latte, going out to, you know, dinner with friends. 30% are things that you want to do. And then that last 20% goes towards your savings. And so, you know, you really have at that point between the 50, 30, 20, you covered everything from the necessities, things that make your life enjoyable, and then also preparing for your future, which is that last 20% for savings. Now, the reality of it is life happens. Sometimes we have to adjust those, you know, percentages. It's not always going to be 50, 30, 20, mm-hmm. but that's a really great rule of thumb to make sure that you are proportionately balanced, right? And if you need to, you know, adjust it, that's just fine too. But when you can kind of get back to more of that 50, 30, 20.
And I've heard that quite often, and it strikes me that that's also a good way of determining if you really are where you should be in your bigger financial picture. For example, if 50% of my income won't cover all of those necessities, then maybe I need to look at some way of bringing in more income or trimming down those expenses. Maybe I'm living above my means.
You got it. That's right. It's a really good, just kind of, I would call it a financial health check when you apply those percentages to what you're currently doing, see how it shakes out. And it certainly may tell you, you know, you need to make some corrections, right?
Yeah.
And course correct a little bit.
So there will come a time for everyone when that motivation will wane. And we were talking about, you know, getting motivated by seeing those, you know, reaching those little goals. After a while, though, it may take a little bit more. And when people start to lose that motivation, what strategies can help them stay on track?
Yeah, well, I like to think of two things. Number one, continue to improve your financial literacy, because there are always different tools and tricks that you can learn that will help you and really help you stay engaged and learn more. At Bank of America, we have some great financial health coaching within our financial centers, Operation Hope, and the Navicore Solutions for Financial Counseling. Those are available to our clients. Then we also have Better Money Habits, which is a free financial educational platform. In addition to those kind of tools and resources, if you will, I always say to you, keep it simple. Find a money buddy, right? We have accountability buddies for a lot of things, to go out walking, make sure we're getting our steps in. Find a money buddy, someone you feel comfortable talking with about your financial situation. And as you talk about the goals that you've set for yourself, as you're making that progress, or maybe you're not making that progress, right?
Yeah.
You have someone to go out and stay motivated, help you keep accountable, and then it is shared too. And you can know that you're inspiring them as well.
Again, Robin Growley is a savings and budget guru for Bank of America. Some terrific resources and tools that can help people set and achieve those financial goals, both in the short term and the long term, for America Saves Week. Where do we learn more, Robin?
Yeah, so to learn more about America Saves Week, keep it really simple, and you can go to americasavesweek.org.
Robin Growley, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you for having me.
In case you missed it, yesterday evening at 50 North, WFIN and the Findlay-Hancock County Chamber of Commerce gathered together the five candidates who are seeking the Republican nomination for Findlay City Council at large in next month's primary election. Early voting for the primary actually begins today. Three seats will be filled later this year, and there is also one candidate running for the Democrats, meaning that at least two of those individuals who participated in the forum last night will ultimately be elected, and they will be first-timers. None of the five have held public office before. So, who are they?
My name is Antonia Faison, and I have been a resident of Findlay for most of my life. I've been married to my wonderful husband, John, for almost 24 years, and I have two wonderful children, Michaela and Julian. I became an active voter after I turned 18, and as far as I can recollect, I have voted consistently when it came to federal elections, but have been more aware and involved locally over the last 20 years. For years, I have noticed what I would call red flags within city governance. I would complain, I would hear others complain, and finally, I just said enough is enough. At some point, the complaining had to stop. It was time to get involved, so here I am. After taking a 12-week constitution class and being nominated to serve on the Hancock Executive Committee of the Republican Party, I decided to run for city council at large. I've been involved in this community for about 25 years and in various ways. 5 years as a church planner, international ministry for several years, running a support group for parents who have special needs children for 16 years, founded and ran a nonprofit for 4 years. I serve on Family Children First Council, and I've been doing that for 7 years, both as a parent representative and a regular attender. And then I've also been a presenter for the CIT, or Crisis Intervention Team, and I've been doing that for several years. And recently nominated for a co-chair position with Ohio Department of Health Complex Medical Health Program Parent Advocacy Committee. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Heather Carlin Kensinger, and I'm honored to be here tonight. 7 generations ago, my ancestors, Squire Carlin and Bass Rawson, helped to found the city of Findlay. The legacy continued with my grandfather, William Carlin, who served as mayor in the 50s and 60s. You may remember my father, Scotty Carlin, who made his mark on the basketball court and earned a place in the Hancock County Sports Hall of Fame. I'm running for city council to help ensure the next 7 generations have the same opportunity to thrive in Findlay as mine did. What I love the most about Findlay is its sense of community. Whether we're cheering at basketball games, watching parades roll down Main Street, or catching the first balloons rise through the morning mist at Emory Adams Park, Findlay brings people together. We share conversations at the Marathon Center Farmers Market, celebrate our country into the fireworks of the fairgrounds, and make friends at the local checkout line at Great Scott. Looking ahead takes vision. As a local state farm agent, I work every day with individuals and families from all walks of life to help secure their future. City Council should do the same. They should protect what matters and build what's possible. Strong schools, thriving businesses, and housing for every stage of life. Legacy will guide us, community will unite us, and vision will drive us. I'm Heather Carlin Kensinger. I hope by the end of tonight I've earned your trust and your vote.
My name is Reed Needles, and I'm honored to run for City Council at large. This is my first time running for office, and I'm deeply committed to serving this community. I've always called Findlay home, but it's not just where I grew up. It's where my wife and I decided to come back to and plant our roots. I grew up in a household that valued involvement and community support. That foundation shaped my belief and the importance of fiscal prudence. Our city's budget reflects the hard work of every resident, and it's our ability to ensure that tax dollars are spent wisely. This relationship between government and citizens hinges on trust and accountability, and I want to exceed your expectations. Secondly, we need a community that fosters growth and opportunity. By planning and providing essential services, strengthening the infrastructure, and making strategic land decisions, we can create an environment where businesses thrive, families feel safe, and public spaces flourish. Finally, I believe the power of strong, effective relationships. I will provide open communication with city officials, businesses, organizations, and residents to ensure your voices are heard and your concerns are met. I ask for your support in this campaign so we can build a brighter future for Findlay together. Thank you.
My name is Randy Odermott. I've been in Findlay since 1992. Grew up in Northwest Ohio. My family's been here for, I'm the sixth generation that was born in this area. Most of them from Fremont. And I went to school at Bowling Green State University, graduated in 1978 with a degree, Bachelor of Science in Education, History and Political Science major with a minor in Sociology. Went into teaching for a few years, decided that really wasn't what I wanted to do with my the rest of my career, and ended up in Findlay in 1992, opening up an Avis Rent-A-Car agency, working at Marathon. A lot of the companies also besides Marathon and the general public. So I feel that my experience there in dealing with a lot of different kinds of people, I'd be sitting there one day and here would come a corporate executive from Marathon or Cooper Tire, and the next person in's coming in because they've decided to use their income tax return check or their COVID stimulus check to drive around in a newer car for a couple of weeks. So I had a big spectrum there, and I learned to deal with all these people. I think I gained a lot of respect from them, and I treated them all fairly. So I think that is something that I can do as far as working with a lot of different types of people. I'm a member of the Republican Central Committee, and I ran for council in 2023 against Mr. DeArmond. Was unsuccessful in that, and I thought that I would leave him alone this time and go a different route. And I think this is going to work out for everybody. So, thank you.
My name is Brad Wagner. You can see my signs around town, but I'm going by Bradley L. Wagner on the ballot. That's my mom would have had it no other way. I was born in Findlay, and so is my wife, Jill Wasbro Wagner. Three of our four adult girls were born here as well. Jill and I love Findlay so much, we purchased property at Maple Grove Cemetery. I'm not a career politician, although I do enjoy politics. I'm a businessman. I spent 30-plus years in business, 5 years serving the United States Navy as an air crewman, electronic warfare operator. Currently, my wife and I manage Wasbro Rental Properties and the Sherman House, as well as Wagner Rental Properties. Findlay's a great city, and I'm confident that its greatest days are yet to come. This election is not about me. It's about the people of Findlay, electing people that they trust to make sound decisions to keep our water systems functional and modern, the roadways properly maintained, and our first responders and maintenance personnel supported. I'm confident that my business experience will prove to be an asset. I'm conservative by nature, and balanced budgets are essential to me. If the voters elect me, I will attend all council meetings and committee assignments well prepared.
And there you have it, the five Republicans seeking nomination for Findlay City Council at large from yesterday evening's candidate forum. After the introductions, we began last night's forum by asking the candidates to share what, in their view, is the biggest issue, problem, or challenge facing the city today. And here's what they had to say.
We'll start with Ms. Faison.
So I would note fiscal responsibility and the prioritizing of needs over wants. Because we have a $6 million deficit, and so that's definitely a red flag. And for me, I guess when it comes to voting on council, I would push towards just being more responsible and prioritizing funding. Or money, taxpayer money.
Ms. Carlin Kinzinger.
So I put, we're at a crossroads. And for me, I think that's a big deal in Findlay. Are we going to be, we get to decide as a town what we're going to do at this point. Are we going to be welcoming to businesses? Are we going to draw people into our community? Or are we going to put up barriers that prevent that from happening? And so I think on council, we're going to make decisions in the next few years that are going to decide that and decide if our town and our community wants to welcome businesses and other leaders into it, or if we're going to put up barriers for that.
Mr. Needles.
I wrote down being too successful. As we continue to grow, and Findlay has been very, very prosperous throughout the years, this does bring a sense of challenge. It brings challenges to our town. We need to be able to keep up with our success. We need to be able to have those infrastructures built and in place before we get to growing too much. So that's why I believe it's just being too successful, and we need to be able to keep up with our growth.
Mr. Odermott.
I'm changing mine at the last minute. Had a second thought. Responsible growth. I think we've seen a lot over the past. I've lived in Findlay since 1992. A lot of people here are old enough to remember what was going on in Findlay in 1992 and how much things have changed since then. We brought in a lot of companies. We've expanded east, north, but a lot of it's the same kind of stuff. And we've got warehouse, we've got trucking companies, we've got more than enough gas stations, restaurants, fast food restaurants, those types of things. What I would like to see is to continue that growth, but maybe manage it a little bit better. Try to get in some higher paying jobs. All right, all these $18, $20 an hour jobs are great if you've got two people and a couple working those jobs. One can't make it on that. I know a lot of that has to do with the other side of it is maybe promoting more training for some of the skilled positions within our schools. I'd like to see that too. You talk to anybody who's a welder or has a machine shop, they can't find people. And those people are making a lot of money. So I think we just need to take a look at making growth is fine, but keep it on a manageable level.
And Mr. Wagner.
The first thing I put down was downtown. Jill and I are vested in downtown in our business, but it's bigger than that. I'm excited about Findlay. In my Navy training and as a national account manager, whenever I would come to any kind of a management setting, they never wanted to hear anything from me about why we cannot hit our goals. Findlay has got some amazing leaders. I am humbled to be sitting here. Everybody up here in front of me, they're all the businesses in town, I don't see how we can fail. I just want to be part of it. I think, and I know that I can add to it. I can help you, everybody make good financial decisions. We all believe in that. We all want fresh water. We all want clean air. But I don't see how we can allow, and we won't allow Findlay to fail. It's going to be a great place. I want to be part of it. I want downtown. I want the new parks. I want our industrial centers. I want all the different industries to thrive. And this is exciting. We're going to do well. And I'm going to be part of it.
I also asked the candidates for their views on the proposed downtown park project to repurpose area cleared in the floodplain. The mayor has championed the park plan, but it has caused controversy, largely due to the potential cost of the project.
And we'll begin with Ms. Faison.
So I'm for the beautification of downtown Findlay, actually our city, but $40 million is a high price tag. No matter which way it comes. The other thing is we have to consider maintenance through the years. The timing of it is not, I would consider it not a good time. Like I said, our economy, we don't know what we're up against here. We're dealing with a lot of different things at the federal level, and we must consider that. I think it's a little too much to bring in or want to have a park that's $40 million. I think I talked to a gentleman in the city. He has a wonderful idea for the park. I mean, we could spend a lot less, still make it look nice, and cultivate the community that we all want. I just don't think you need to spend $40 million on that. For me, I'm very frugal, and again, I would prioritize needs over wants and still have a nice, you know, a place that people can go in the city. We just have to be really mindful of that. The price tag is way too high.
Ms. Carlin Kinzinger.
So looking at that space, I think, as we all do, that something needs to be done with it. I think when you put plans together, I think you tend to dream. I don't think there's anything wrong with dreaming about what Findlay could be. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying this is amazing, and it would be amazing if we had this, if businesses donated, or if we got a grant from some other organization that helped with this. I think laying out a dream is a good idea for Findlay. Now, when you lay out a dream, then you have to come to reality. You have to know this is the pieces we can put in place right now. What could we start? What could we start in this project that wouldn't cost that much, but would give us a beginning, and then let people after us continue to add and continue to grow and make Findlay look better? And I think if we just draw a line and say, no, we're not going to dream big. We're not going to think that something could happen. I don't think we go out and we write a check for $40 million. I think that we take our time and we spend it wisely. We put in things that can be done less expensively to start with, but I think automatically saying no to something that could be a future project. If you look at the beginning of our city, those men and women never thought what we have built could be there. If we had told them no from the beginning, we wouldn't have the Findlay that we have now.
Mr. Needles.
Findlay is a first-class city, and we deserve a first-class park, bottom line. That park is going to beautify that section. I think it's a great idea. I also think that investment is going to pay dividends back to us. It gives us a great space for entertainment. I mean, it's going to be such a large place that it could be a venue for bands to come or people to gather. I mean, you could envision a business going down there using that park for sunrise yoga. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. But also, you have to remember that location floods, right? So we have to build something there that isn't going to be affected if it does flood. So we're not going to put a new business there and watch it flood if something should happen. We're going to build a park that is going to be made to withstand this kind of damage if it does flood. So I think it's a good investment for us, our community,
And as long as we utilize that investment to the best of its ability, I think it's going to pay dividends for Findlay, not only in a visual manner, but also an economic way.
Mr. Odermatt.
I don't think a park is an investment. I don't think you'd ever make any money on it, but it is something that it has to be. All right, if you polled everybody in Findlay and said, should we make that into a park or something else? Everybody's going to go, well, it's got to be a park. All right, and it does. It's just a matter of how much money you want to spend on it, what you want there, and who's paying for it. The biggest problem that I had with it from the get-go, and I talked on this a year and a half ago, was they signed an agreement for $5 million to an outside company to make a plan for the damn thing. All right, that makes no sense at all. You can do better. It has to be a park. It could be done in stages. It doesn't have to have every bell and whistle. It doesn't have to have an $8 million bridge going across the river. The other thing is, if people have a vision and want to see this, well, then maybe they should be the ones who are funding it. Let's get corporate donations. Let's get private donations. Let's not get taxpayer donations. That's not where it comes from.
And Mr. Wagner.
I'm in favor of dreaming bigger. We got to dream big. If we don't have big, big targets, we're going to fail. So I'm in favor of it. I don't know how it's going to be financed, but if we can pull it off, I think we should set our dreams as high as that and even higher. I'm not for higher property taxes, but I think there's probably a way. And I like guys who say that we're going to be going to Mars. I like guys who say that we're going to cure cancer. I like guys that say that we're going to make Findlay the envy of every small town in America.
It is a significant issue for concerned voters to think about, because it will be in the next year or so that the downtown park project, if it is to happen, would most likely be approved. And the project would move forward, would break ground and set into motion. So a lot of interesting comments there. Again, the forum last night at 50 North with the candidates for Findlay City Council at large, Republican candidates in the primary, lasted for roughly 90 minutes, a little short of an hour and a half. And if you want to view the entire forum beginning to end, you can go to the WFIN Facebook page or our YouTube news channel. We have links to those posted at WFIN.com or at goodmornings.net. And again, early voting begins today, primary day coming up May 6th.
Information that makes a difference. Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A group of teenagers in Naples, Florida, is accused of attacking an Easter bunny at the local mall. What? What is it? A group of teenagers, Naples, Florida, accused of attacking the Easter bunny at a local mall. The bunny was attacked on the way to the break room at the Coastland Center Mall. What is this world coming to? And the Easter Bunny gets attacked. They mugged the Easter Bunny. Two 13-year-old boys were arrested for battery. A 14-year-old boy, also involved in the incident, was cited. A shopper who witnessed the incident was able to confirm what happened. Authorities say the person who was wearing the bunny costume was not seriously hurt. Thank goodness. But who would attack the Easter Bunny? What in the world is going on in Florida? Man, oh man, that's just wrong on so many levels. Elsewhere in the broken news, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a father is facing charges after having his 13-year-old son drive him home while in possession of drugs. Local news reports say Michael Pantages, allegedly admitted to police last Friday night that he had been smoking with friends when he asked his son to drive him home. Seemed like the responsible thing to do, except that his son was only 13 years old. Officers found marijuana and other controlled substances inside the vehicle. Mr. Pantages is charged with driving under the influence, reckless driving, and other drug and traffic violations. You're trying to do the responsible thing, and what does it get you? Man. Okay, let's see here. A woman has been arrested for allegedly selling drugs while working as a crossing guard in Washington, D.C. What? Working as a crossing guard, but had a little something-something on the side. Investigators reportedly approached the woman while she was working on Thursday and asked her to allow a drug dog to sniff her car. Court documents indicated that oxycodone, cocaine, a digital scale, and cash were seized by police. Tara Jones was then arrested on charges of possession with the intent to distribute a controlled substance. While working as a crossing guard in Washington, D.C. Okay. Couple of other items here in today's broken news report. What a day. An 8-year-old boy in Utah by the name of Jake Smith, and I'm not sure exactly where in Utah this is. The story doesn't say. Jake had a miraculous brush with death while jumping on a trampoline recently. And apparently there's video of it. I haven't seen it, but I believe that there's video of this. Online, a sudden wind gust lifted him and the trampoline 20 feet into the air, propelling him over two cinder block walls before landing in the street. And somehow, Jake emerged with only minor injuries, a slight concussion and a few scratches, prompting his mother to call it a complete miracle. I would guess so. Wow. Hospital staff were amazed by Jake's condition, highlighting the rarity of such incidents. The Smith family emphasized the importance of securing trampolines firmly to the ground to avoid a similar accident. Jake, for his part, says he is now more cautious, but jokingly plans to ask others if their trampolines are bolted down before bouncing. Not going to get me on a trampoline unless it is bolted down from here on out. That is probably a good rule of thumb, yeah. Jake learned his lesson, but wow, what a story he has. And lastly here in the broken news this morning, it turns out that using a lawyer generated by artificial intelligence may not have been an intelligent move. Jerome DeWald tried to use AI representation without informing the judges in his case in a New York appeals court recently. He created a lawyer using artificial intelligence, but didn't tell the judge. Mr. DeWald had submitted a video as part of his argument in his case. I don't know what it was involving. But he had submitted a video as part of his argument, which the judges were watching when they realized that the man in the video was not a real person. Didn't take long before the judge realized something wasn't right and asked Mr. DeWald, "Is that your counsel for the case?" To which Mr. DeWald responded, "I generated that. It's not a real person." The judge then immediately shut down the video before declaring, "I don't appreciate being misled." In an apology letter to the court, Mr. DeWald said he was nervous about representing himself without a lawyer and thought that remarks presented by the AI-generated attorney would come across better than his own delivery. Turns out the intelligence may be artificial, but the consequences are very real. So we'll see how the court takes that. AI attorney. Maybe someday, but I don't know that we're there yet. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Ever thought about joining the Findlay Rotary Club?
I'm Scott Holman, president of Resolute Wealth Advisor, and I'm proud to be a Findlay Rotarian where collectively we rely on the strengths of each member to impact our club's vision of uniting local leaders to influence positive change.
Our ability to influence positive change locally and around the world grows through membership in the Findlay Rotary Club. To learn more about how you can help make a difference, go to findlayrotary.org.
This message provided by WFIN.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. We all know that raising kids has always been costly, but inflation has made it even harder for families to keep up. According to a 2022 analysis from the Brookings Institution, a middle-income family with two kids could expect to spend approximately $310,605, adjusted for higher future inflation, to raise a single child born in 2015 through age 17. A kid born in 2015, raised through age 17, adjusted for anticipated inflation, $310,605 is the cost for one, for each kid. That was in 2022. A 2023 study by LendingTree estimated that the average annual cost of raising a child had climbed to $21,681 a year, a 19% increase from 2016, bringing the total estimated cost per child to $389,000 over 18 years. Now, where you live makes a huge difference. A 2024 Smart Asset Study estimates that raising a child in Massachusetts, which is the most expensive state in the country, costs nearly $36,000 per year, while in Mississippi, the cheapest state, it's less than half of that. Half! Over 18 years, that's a difference of $439,000. So, happening around town, the University of Findlay presenting their annual International Night event on Thursday. Alex Parker from the University of Findlay is with us here this morning. This has been going on for, how many years? It's been a long, long time.
It's been a long time. I think it started back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's been running almost every year since.
It's really interesting the way this has kind of evolved over the years. And obviously part of that has to do with the fact that there are so many more international students, so many more countries represented at the university.
Yeah. We've got a diverse population there at the University of Findlay. And it's something that we like to celebrate, right? We've got all sorts of different tables. We're including people from other states as well. So
okay,
it's so not truly an international night, right?
Yeah. So not just other countries, but other states as well, which can sometimes seem like other countries. I would imagine.
Yeah. And this year we recognize that we've got people that are coming into our community here in Findlay, Ohio, that are new, right? And so we've also got an Ohio table this year.
Okay. All right. So to give those students an opportunity to learn more about our state. So that seems only fair. How many, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, how many countries are represented?
Oh, goodness.
When we're talking about internationally, I mean,
So do you know? We've got somewhere between 35 and 48 countries.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's more than I would have guessed.
Right.
And then, again, several different states as well, because, you know, like we said, the University of Findlay draws from a number of different states. That's a lot more than I think most people realize are represented on campus. And certainly, you know, multiculturalism and, you know, international issues have been in the news. This is an opportunity, which is kind of the mission of International Night, to speak to the community about the wealth of diversity represented at the university and by extension within the community.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's not necessarily about showcasing our differences, right? It's more about bringing everyone together and showing we're all kind of built in the same pot.
Yeah. At the same time, one of the things that that you do through the course of the evening is celebrate those differences and those that those things that make us unique. And you do that in a number of ways. Well, not you. The students will do this in a number of ways.
Yeah, so we've got there's going to be food exhibits, so people can come up, try some food that's from their countries. Mm-hmm. There's different exhibits, so they'll have things on display, and then performances are a big one. So we've got 14, I believe, this year, 14 different performances, ranging from spoken word acts to dances, and all the way up to whole band performances.
Wow. Wow. So that'll be an awful lot of fun. How long, and this is all the students put this on, they kind of create all of this from scratch, right?
Yep. So we've held open hours so that students can come in, make up their exhibits. Mm-hmm. They're working with professional chefs to showcase their food.
Okay.
And their performances are all their own. So
they've been working on this themselves, showcasing what they are most proud of or what they most appreciate about their own, want to share with the community. I think that's a that's a big thing to know going in, is that this is what these students are most proud of about their heritage, their background, and
exactly. So. It's something that they want to share with you.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is open to the entire community.
Yes, it is open to the entire community. It'll be April 10th from 5 to 8 in the Kaler Center. So we've moved to a larger location this year.
Okay, all right. And in fact, you encourage the entire community to come
out. Absolutely, yeah, please come out. It's free to attend. Mm-hmm. There's no cost whatsoever. We've removed essentially every barrier.
Right.
Except for travel, right?
Yeah. And just in terms of what this means for the university, having a strong international student presence, and even as we were saying, from other states, that is a big deal for the University of Findlay.
Oh yeah, yeah. The we take great pride in the fact that we can draw in such a diverse crowd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So International Night is coming up on Thursday, again, 5 to 8, and it is a great opportunity to learn about the diverse population in the on the University of Findlay campus, and like we said, by extension, within the community itself, and as you said, it is absolutely free.
Absolutely free. Right. We even got a big prize. The raffle tickets, all it costs you is participation.
Okay. Yeah, we mentioned prizes. I forgot to mention that. You've got goodies to give away. What do you
give Yeah, away? So it's all one big raffle basket.
Okay.
And it's got $100 Walmart gift cards, bunch of different coffees from other countries.
Okay.
Some UF swag. I believe we've got some Deitch's ice cream coupons that are going in there. Good. So it's...
We're putting our community's best foot forward there.
Exactly. Sure. We've got a lot to offer in that basket.
So make sure that you stop by and celebrate the diversity of the University of Philly campus on Thursday evening. We have a link for more information at our webpage. You can go to goodmornings.net and learn more. And again, Alex Parker from the University of Findlay, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show by heading to our website. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, President Trump has warned that his reciprocal tariffs may cause some pain for consumers, leaving many to wonder how much pain, how soon, and for how long. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.